Okay, let's begin. One of the main themes that Rav Hirsch stresses often in many of his commentaries on the parasha, but certainly speaking about the job of the Kohanim, so Rav Hirsch stresses that the whole idea of kahuna, that we have this group of people within Klal Yisrael that are supposed to be those who serve in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kohanim are supposed to serve a higher and more exalted purpose, sort of as role models for the rest of the Jewish people, as role models for us about how to live and how to conduct their lives. And one of the Rav Hirsch is going to begin by speaking about two specific laws of the Kohuna. One law that a Kohen is not allowed to shave off all his hair, karcha, or cut himself because of a dead person. Because of a dead person, there you go, Nissen. So you're not allowed to do something extra special because of a dead person. And also that they're not allowed to, you're not allowed to mark up your body over mourning of somebody who died. And the other point is that you're not allowed to come in contact with a dead person. You're not allowed to be metame. A Kohen is not allowed to become tame. So Rav Hirsch is going to open up speaking about these two halachas. What's so special about not doing excessive mourning and not coming in contact with somebody who's tame? So Rav Hirsch has one general idea about this. Nimtzei somer, karcha usrita hein osos knia. These are symbols of subjugating yourself. Makriven osan lekel hamavas. These are things that people who don't know better, they sacrifice them to the god of death. Now, Rav Hirsch stresses, maybe you could probably help me more than this. Apparently, there's certain religions that focus a lot on death, cultic religions. I guess, this whole Halloween culture, this whole Gothic culture that focuses a lot on death, it could be a throwback to those kinds of religions. But Shekochem Balayolam, Al Pizeh Yuvan Al Shum Ma Nishnu Yisurim Eil Kohanim B'Yichud. Why were these Yisurim repeated for Kohanim especially? Zos Afal Bishim Uvan Me'ilav She'isar Noi B'Yisrael Noi Gam B'Kohanim. We already know that the Torah says that a regular Jew can't make an incision in his body over for mourning or shave off all his head, his hair as a sign of mourning. Hadavar Kashur Kanireh Im Yisur Tumas Meis. It's also connected with the Isser that a Kohen cannot come in contact with a dead person. Hanoi b'kohanim dafka. Of course, that's a prohibition only by Kohanim, right? Yisraelim are allowed to come in contact with a dead person. It's only a Kohen. Eliliut atika v'chadisha noheged l'tzarefes hadas im hamaves. There is an ancient idol worship that combines religion with death. Rak b'gvah adam titzmach malchus hakel. Only when a person dies, that's when religion begins. Gviya umaves heim hagiloi haikari shel ha'eluhus. This false religion, this false god, is connected with death. Ki hakel hu lididam elo, I guess I would write, ha'el hu lididam elohe maves. The god, their god, is the god of death. V'lo elohe ha'chayim. Hu meimis v'lo mechaye. It's the god who brings death, but not life. Religion begins when people get sick. That's when you go to religion. When people start getting poor, that's when you call out to religion. So that man should be scared of religion. They would put their sanctuaries next to graveyards. And their priests would minister next to dead bodies. B'makom sheha'ayin asheshav alev nishbar, only once the heart was broken and the eye was dimmed, sham yimtzu esakarka roi lezer hadas. That's where they would find the fertile ground for planting their religion. B'anose al besaro es os hamavis esemel koach hamavis hamizgaber al akol. That's the religious symbol. The ultimate religious actions were things that were connected with death. And particularly their priests were priests who ministered mostly about death. Again, you can help me out, but let's just see what he's contrasting. Lo ke'ela kohane Yisrael. The Jewish religion is anything but that. The Jewish religion is everything but that. We don't celebrate death. We celebrate life. Ki lo kein toras elokei Yisrael. This is not the religion of Jews. V'lo zuhi das Yisrael. This is not the Jewish religion. Hakel hamor elokein is mamadu Yisrael. Hu elokei hachayim. Our God is not the God of death. He's the God of life. Hiskaluso anala biyosei enanami koacham aves. His revelation, the ultimate revelation of God, is not with the strength of death, Hashover Asagvur Vasachayim, that breaks the strength and life. Elohum is Gala Bekoch Achayim, Amishachar Amachaya. Our God is revealed in the strength of life that frees man and gives man strength. Amachayim is Adon Lurtzos Becherus, to want with freedom. Velichios Chaya Netzach, and to live an eternal life. Ein hu morela adam kitzad lamus ela eich lechios. Our religion doesn't teach you how to die. Our religion teaches you how to live. Hu morelo eich yinatzeach zamavis ba'odo b'chayim. Our religion teaches you how to overcome all forms of death while you're still alive. Eich yisgaber al choser acherus al hashibur agufani v'al achulsha hachushanet. How can you overcome a lack of freedom on physical enslavement to taivas and on moral weakness? Ech yichya kol rega shel chayei chalado kerega shel chayei netzach b'avodas Hashem. How you could live every moment of your life like a moment of eternal service of God? Ech yichya kach kol rega. How you should be alive every moment. Shel chayei cheirus musaris. You have a moral freedom. Even if you're poor, even if you're sick, even if you're enslaved physically to somebody, if you're Jewish, if you have a Jewish religion, you have moral freedom. Shel chayei machshava v'ratzon. A life of thought and will. Yitzira umas. Creation and action. V'gam shel hana. And a life of pleasure. Hine, zu ha-Torah she-Hashem hikdish es mikdasho l'machon la, v'la'avodas ha-kidish es ha-kohanim, ha-morim la'am es basis ha-chayim es kivanam, right? Kohen is from the language of kavan, direction. He says kohen is related to kivun. Ayin pirish bereshis, right? So that's why a kohen can't come in contact with a dead body. Because our religion and those who represent our religion have to stay away from death to show the world that our religion is not about death, it's about life, it's about living. And that's why extra special a Kohen can't make an incision for a dead person. Now, the one time a Kohen is allowed to come in contact with a dead person, that's when one of his seven relatives passes away, he is allowed to go to the funeral. But a Kohen Gadol isn't even allowed to go to that. He's only allowed for a meis mitzvah. And again, I didn't do Rav Hirsch. Literally this week, Rav Hirsch had 190 pages on Parshas Emor. I got through about 150. Shosh Amavis Koris B'nei Ha'am, I got up to Yom Kippur. I had to stop by Shavuos, right, in the Parsha. But I didn't get up to Sukkot. I didn't get up to Sukkot. Shosh Amavis Koris B'nei Ha'am Ligmol Chesedim Ma'ate Haguf Shel Nefesh. Kohanim have to not come in contact with a dead body. By the fact that they have to stay away from a dead body, they can't go to funerals. So right next to the dead body, they will raise the banner of life. They will inspire people about what it means to live Jewishly. Even at a time of a funeral, when everybody's worried about death, they will remind people about Jewish life. Ra'ayon ha'cheiros ha'musaris. You know, I was a little taken aback, a little bit, at Rav Binyamin Kamenetsky Zatzal's Levaya. So his brother of Shmuel Kamenetsky, a great Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, spoke. And basically his whole message was, you know, you can't get so upset when somebody dies because they're not really, they're just going for a little way. They're just going away a little bit, but there's going to be a Tchiyas HaMesim. We don't believe in spending too much time worrying about death. He's in a better place. He's, you know, it's not, it's not, you know, it was just striking. I mean, it was just striking.
We're not upset for him. We're upset for us.
Oh, correct. Okay, so.
He lost the tie. He's fine.
Oh, right. So, but he was trying to use that as a way of comfort to say, to comfort people to say, listen, you know, he lived 93 years. He accomplished a tremendous amount. You know, we believe you're not supposed to, we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, put, as you say, put them in a better place. Our strength is not only the body. Only if he's a father or a son or a brother or a husband, then the personal family obligations trump this national obligation to be a symbol to the people about life. Only when his own personal tragedy, the regular kohen, his askus bekvoros ames einar rak reshus halachova b'chol sha'am mikrim chayav akarim sakman ames. So that's why specifically a kohen has to do this. So again, I think the lesson for us is Hashem wants us to live as Jews, to live life, to eat, to drink, to partake of this world, but to do it making moral free choice, to live it as a Jew, to live it in moderation, to live it by making brachos before you eat, to live it by in a Torah way. But our religion does not celebrate death. Our religion celebrates life, celebrates living Jewishly. And again, I'm not totally 100% sure what he's contrasting that with, who puts their houses of worship next to cemeteries.
The church,
I'm saying, say, that's a Christian idea.
Yeah.
It's very much a Christian idea.
It's a great honor to be buried within the shadow of the steeple.
Right.
Not everybody can do
you
it.
You travel around the country, you see.
Yeah, yeah, around the country, yeah, you do see. You see the cemeteries right next to the churches. Right. That's not us.
Party after the funeral.
Yeah, yeah. The wake.
Yeah.
There's a party.
The wake itself is a...
That's what they say, he's doing.
Eat, drink, and be merry. Because tomorrow, yeah. Okay. Similarly, the Kohen has extra special people he's not allowed to marry, right? Isha zana v'chala lo yikachu v'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu. Pasuk Zayin. Page 354, Pasuk Zayin. Isha zana v'chala lo yikachu. A Kohen has certain women who he's not allowed to marry, that everybody else is allowed to marry. Why? Says her first. V'akohen musa gam al zona chalal u grusha kakiolanu shemusariyut tsinua. A moral, you know, tsnius. Hiskadshus shel kuhuna v'chaye shalom v'reyus. And the sanctification of the Kohen and a life of peace and shalom bayis and friendship. Heim t'nae ha'yisod shel chaye ha'mishpacha. We shall call mataros chayenu, living with other people in peace and not causing any fights. This is a sine qua non for family life and our entire goal of life. The Kohen is supposed to promote a life of togetherness, of getting along, right? So he wants to say, why is a Kohen not allowed to marry a grusha? Because he's suggesting here that a grusha, you know, got into an argument with her husband, and you know, symbolized that discord and disunity and lack of harmony. And a kohen is supposed to represent for the people only harmony. So he can't get mixed up into a family. He's not allowed to get mixed up into a family where there was discord and disunity, because he'd then be representing and making as a rule. Now look, he takes it even a step further, Joel. Dine ishus hamiyuchadim lekohanim morim. So he says the laws of Ishus that are specific for Kohanim are supposed to teach everybody the importance of Yichus Mishpacha b'shas b'chiras ben zug l'nisuin. When you're choosing somebody for marriage, so the family does play a role. I remember, I'm sure I told you this, that You know, we like to not believe this, right? We like to not believe that, that Yichus has anything to do with it, right? You know, why do you have to look at the family? You know, but he says, right, because you could have a terrible parents and a great kid, right? That could happen. Every time I tell Rabbi Storch anything that I'm taking off Rabbi Hirsch, he says, oh, that's such a yucky idea. And all Jews learned from these laws of Kohanim the importance of this idea. If you have glaring problems in the nature, kagon eva bein mishpachos, fighting between families, netia lariv ulamatza, a predilection or a predisposition to fighting and discord, netia lasez shemetz psul ba'acherim, people who are very outspoken, critically outspoken, critical people who are quick to point out the faults of others, azos panim, brazenness, achzarius, meanness, sinas abrios, hating people, kol elahim gam sinam shel psul mishpacha. Wow. All these things are usually indications that there's a problem in the ancestry and the lineage. So says Rav Hirsch. He says that because the two are interconnected, interchangeable. Anyway, he wants to say this is why a Kohen has to have extra special careful care for his lineage, because he's representing the people, trying to treat people, teach the people about how an appropriate way to conduct your life. So he can't get mixed up with families that had questions. Or a zona is anybody who's nivala lapasala, right? Anybody who had relations that they weren't allowed to have.
Illegal.
Right. Any illegal relations, he's not allowed to marry anybody who has that.
The implication is that a Yisrael can. I thought that was wrong. A Yisrael can't marry a zona. Am I wrong, Rabbi? What's the law?
A Yisrael, so a zona just means, let's say somebody who just... right, there is a question about that, but let's say anybody who just had any kind of forbidden sexual relationship, a Yisrael has no, there's no isser for a Yisrael to marry somebody who just had any forbidden sexual relationship. But a Kohen, right? That's Isha Zona V'Chalol Ikachu. Right? What does Rashi say? What's the exact?
Because the Navi is also told to marry a Zona, but that I thought was a tremendous exception.
Take a look at Rashi, Zona. Shenivala beilas Yisrael ha'asala kagon chay v'krisus o nasin o mamzer. For instance, let's say a woman had a one night stand with a mamzer, so that doesn't render the woman pasul for Yisrael to marry. There's no psul, but for a kohen it would be usser. So let's see. In the next piece, Rav Hirsch just points out that he says very nicely that. On Pasuk Tes Vav, let's see, Perakof Aleph, Pasuk Tes Vav. V'lo yichalel zaro ba'amav, ki ani Hashem mekadosho. When you're born into the Shevet HaKahuna, this is not a choice that you make to be that representative. You're born that way. And that's your job. You know, you have one job, like they say on the internet. You have one job. So your job is to represent that, and it's not something you choose to do. I guess the modern day, you know, rabbis, which Rav Hirsch actually talks about that, we'll see in a minute in the next piece. So they do make the choice. But once you're in that, you know, you don't have a choice. And Rav Hirsch extends that. The tribe of kahuna in the human race is the Jewish people. We're all kohanim. We're mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. We're born into it. We don't have a choice to be an or lagoyim. We don't have a choice. We can't say, you know what? I get this whole Orla going. We the Jews have to live on a higher plane. We have to show the world what it means to be humane, what it means to be sensitive, what it means to be to have the proper midos. We're not interested. I'm opting out. Says Rav Hirsch, you can't opt out to being a Jew. You can't opt out. V'chena dar biyadis shiha kahuna b'miskeres ha'enoshus misha nolad Yehudi lo yechta lo'olam lios Yehudi al pi Yehudo. You could run, but you can't hide. You could try to get away from it, but you can't. Shekena yadus einena das she'adam bocher ba'meirtzono achofshi. Judaism is not a religion that you choose. Elahi yiyud chayim. It is a life's destiny. Shehashem hitil ala adam mishas leida. If you're born into the tribe, too bad. That's your job. V'chach mi shenolad Yehudi lo yuchal afkias atzum mi yudze umin hamaskanos hanovaos yimeno. Afal pi shechata Yisrael hu. Right? Gemara says Sanhedrin, even if you sin very badly, you're still part of the tribe. You can't be lost. Yachalu lesnake l'tavkin ze berucho, b'deos ov udrachov. Yachalu l'afnas la'orif b'begida gemura, b'snakuzu yovad la'akosha l'vatzeo san pulos shen k'sheros raka yide Yehudi ne'aman. Ach, hachuva la'emes hayadus, hachazara el anemonos beruch, b'deos ma'is, d'ya tamid tavkin rishon, shel yid chayim shemite lov. Even if you stray far away, the option of tshuva is always in front of you, and it's always your obligation. It's always your obligation as a Jew. Oh. Now the next piece, Rav Hirsch talks about this very, very profound pasuk. Again, we know this pasuk, and he doesn't say any earth-shattering major chidushim on this pasuk, I don't think. Maybe you'll tell me that you see an earth-shattering major chidush here. But the way he talks about it, I think, is a very, 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 very powerful and important mussar, even of sharing with us ideas that are somewhat straightforward and obvious. Now, gentlemen, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe take a look on page 359. Velo sechalalu Hashem kadshi. Don't make a chil Hashem. V'nikdashti besoch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem elokeichem. Sanctify me in front of the Jewish people. Don't create a chil Hashem and always live your life as a kiddush Hashem. So maybe you don't know this. Maybe you do know this. But the strict definition, the strict halachic definition of chilul Hashem and kiddush Hashem. Maybe you don't know. Maybe this is an issue of kiddush. You know what a chilul Hashem is? A strict halachic definition. The strict halachic definition of chilul Hashem is a person who does an avera in front of 10 Jews. That's a chilul Hashem by the strict Gemara's definition. Now, kiddush Hashem is where you do a mitzvah in public, you do a mitzvah in front of 10 Jews, and ultimately kiddush Hashem is also giving up your life for one of the three big sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shfichas Damim, giving up your life rather than violate Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayis, and Shfichas Damim, or giving up your life in public for any one of the 613 mitzvahs, which means in front of 10 Jews, if a non-Jew comes over to you in front of 10 Jews and says, be Mechal Shabbos or I'm going to kill you, you have to give up your life. Even if it's not one of the big three. Anyone that's Befarhesia, you have to give up your life rather than violate any of this of the 300 of the 248 negative commandments or the 365 negative or the 248 positive.
But there's a difference in halachic status if there is a declaration against all the Jews or a young...
Hold on. That's a third distinction. That's a separate distinction, Herbie. There's two different ones. If it's in public, even if it's not a Shas Hashmad, even if it's not a Shas Hashmad, if it's in public, you have to give up your life rather than violate any Isser. That's one. And if it is a Shas Hashmad, even if it's a Minog, even if it's just the shoelace color, which is not one of the 630 mitzvahs at all, just Jews dressed in a certain way and non-Jews dressed in another way, you have to give up your life even for that. So Rav Hirsch is going to talk about that.
So even an aseh?
Even an aseh, correct. If it's a shas hashmad, not befarhesia. I think, I'm not sure about befarhesia. I'm not sure about an aseh befarhesia. Now before, again, it's a little bit of a long piece and I'm afraid I'm not going to tease out these two important ideas he says. And that's, what's this whole idea? He says that when a Jew does a mitzvah in public, it affects every Jew around him. When a Jew does an Aveira in public, it affects every Jew around him. And when a Kohen does an Aveira, it's even worse. And when a rabbi does an Aveira, it's even worse. Rabbis have to hold themselves up to higher standards. If you're in a leadership position in the community, if you're the president of the shul, if you're the president of the school, you have to conduct yourself in a higher way. If you're on the board of the school, on the board of the shul, you have to conduct yourself in a higher way because people are going to... You're in a position of being a role model. People are going to look at you and say, if that's the way you act, well, then I could do 10 times worse. Like I told you, Rav Shechter said at the Chag HaSmicha. He said, when you're going to be a rabbi now, you got to realize, if you learn during Chazaras HaShatz, your congregants are going to take out the paper and read the paper and read their emails during Chazaras HaShatz. Chas v'shalom. So let's see Rav Hirsch again. I'll do as much as I can. Take a look. He says it so beautifully. V'lo sechalu Hashem kachi. Don't create a chil Hashem. Always create a kiddush Hashem. Says Rav Hirsch. And I have to get to what he says about Shabbos, because that's really amazing. It's the last two things I'm going to share with you is what he says about Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, and then Shabbos / Sfiras HaOmer leading up to Shavuos. Unbelievable. So we're in good position, but you're going to have to hold on to your seats. Hold on to your seats. Here we go. V'lo sechalu Hashem kachi. Barry, you ready? Here we go. Mikdash Hashem hukam b'kirbeinu k'dei l'shakin shmo sham. Interesting. So the Beis HaMikdash was erected to sanctify the name of God. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, so God's name was called upon us, on every aspect of our lives. We are acquired, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah munachas bekerav kohaleinu, His Torah. Rav Hirsch keeps on stressing this idea. The whole point of the Beis HaMikdash, I tell you, I think I know why he's doing it, but you'll notice every single page of Rav Hirsch's commentary, especially in Vayikra, is filled with this idea that the whole point of the Beis HaMikdash is the Aron, the Torah, the Luchos. He kept stressing. The whole point of Beis HaMikdash is a place to house the Aron, because Rav Hirsch lived in a time where there was no Beis HaMikdash, so he had to keep stressing that the point of the Beis HaMikdash was the Torah that's in there. So it's about the Torah. It's not about the structure. The structure was only there to house the Aron, which housed the Luchos, which was all about the Torah. Judaism is about the Torah. It's not about Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is about the Torah. He just keeps on stressing that. Torah semunachas bekerav kohaleinu. God's Torah was placed in our midst. The Torah teaches us how to be acquired to Hashem. Hech nihiyeh ru'uyim l'shem hanikra aleinu. Shem Hashem hanikra aleinu yielanu bebechinas kodesh elyon muchlat bekerbeinu. Yachad imzeh hu yieh nishmas apeinu. The Torah is the breath of our nostrils. Shet chayenu skayenu bavodas Hashem v'tikshar osenu l'namonas achova. Im nisarev la'akriv l'ratan Hashem recha shel yeshu seinu. If we will decline to sacrifice to God our entire existence, giru shel shifaseinu, nima shel havayaseinu, kurtav shel kinyanenu, hari anachnu mechalim Hashem kacho. Once we decide to do a sin and we pass on our jobs in this world, we are mechalel His name. That's a chil Hashem. Ki Hashem shu elyon kadosh u'muchlat shu tnai l'tzidkas kol havayaseinu kinyanenu, v'hanoad lishlot banu ba'oz muchlat shem zen eschal al yadein v'hepech l'chalal. Chilul means like a halal, it's like a dead person. We've killed a piece of ourselves. Chaser onim. Every time a person sins, he kills a piece of himself. Vim hamered shalanu, if our rebellion no de lacherim, if that rebellion becomes known to others, if you do a sin in front of 10 people, 10 Jews, first, midoraisa chil Hashem is only in front of Jews. That's the most common mistake that people make. Chil Hashem, you think, means in front of non-Jews. No. A sin is in front of Jews. That's the real Chil Hashem. Hari adugma shalanu moru lahem eschos ha'onim shal shem Hashem aleinu. Heim lomdim. What do other people learn from us when they see us sinning? Sheyachal adam liikara Yehudi. You could be called a Jew. V'lasos plaster sashem hazeh. And to turn God's name into a, I'm not sure, into a fakery and a mockery. Ki achova l'shmoa b'kol Hashem. I meant to bring the English, but I forgot. Ki achova l'shmoa b'kol Hashem mechuseres erech b'ino vad shiuchal esabek yiru ol hasik tovas hana miskale in kol sheyochal adon likari Yehudi v'avu b'kein ratzon Hashem enenu b'inav ha'erech ha'muchlat. It's possible for a person to be called a Jew, and yet the will of God you don't really care about. That's not your whole tafkid. So message number one, if you're going to sin in private. Don't sin in public. But that's much worse. It's much worse. V'lo ritzono shelo ha'erech ha'musne elo ritzono shelo hu ha'elil ha'muchlat v'ratzon shenilchem b'chas ha'onim. The more a person is known as a Talmud Chacham, Shashem Hashem Nikra Alav, this is Rabbi Shechter's Musar at the Chag HaSmicha, the bigger a Talmud Chacham you're known as, Kein Hu Musa Yosef Milchal Shem Hashem, the smaller a sin becomes a Chil Hashem. V'chol Setiyah, that's a, the larger a Talmud Chacham you are, the less of a sin becomes a Chil Hashem, the lower the lower level sin becomes a greater chil Hashem. Even if you sin with a more minor sin, something small becomes for you something worse. V'chol sitiya, that's a departure. Kala, any even light departure min ha'emes u'min ha'yosher u'min ha'musar u'min ha'kdusha min ha'tzedek u'min ha'chesed u'min ha'rachamim kol sitiya kala midrishot ha'torah afilo eini elamar esayin. Even if it just looks that way, if you're a Talmud Chacham, you really didn't do anything wrong. It just looks like you did something wrong. Harihi nechsheves lo kichil Hashem. For a Talmud Chacham, that's a chil Hashem. You have to live up to a higher standard. If you're a Jewish leader, you have to live up to high. You have to be much, much more careful because people are watching you like a hawk. They're watching you. And this is true about Orthodox Jews who wear a yarmulke in the street. So non-observant Jews are looking at you. You have to live to a higher standard. The higher your level, you have to be even more careful about your actions. This is the way Gdol Yisrael understood their stature. He talked about it all the time, right? You think if you're in high places, you're politicians, you can get away with stuff. That's not the Jewish way. Ella v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Ratzon Hashem yilano kiddush v'ron chanisa. Hutanakom says to Yisrael, b'chol u'masha ha'karban mora derech semo. Oh, es dam chayenu es kol. Let's skip a little bit. B'soch b'nei Yisrael. Ochein. Toch b'nei Yisrael nechshav shleim eschaya, etc., etc. Oh, no, this is very important. I should have bolded it. Ochein, toch, what's v'nikdashti toch b'nei Yisrael? Achein, second paragraph. Toch b'nei Yisrael nechshav shleimus chayesh. Kol yivrei kshum zel zeh. Im echad mi Yisrael neman l'chovaso. V'samach l'akrav kodosh emkach. Hari yom malagam es chaver lo sa nemanos. Echad mi Yisrael chote. Ein lechaz v'at haz yushal. Elu hu machshav gam es chaver alo min mimasa. Right? We all live toch b'nei Yisrael. When we talk in shul, we're telling our friend who sits next to us that it's okay to talk in shul. It's not just us. You're sending a message to the whole rest of the shul. And when we take upon ourselves to never say a word in shul, that sends a message to all toch b'nei Yisrael, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. That's a kiddush Hashem. B'sanhedrin, b'ira sayachas rin v'chai b'hem. Okay, let's skip that. Oh, then he goes into giving up your life, right? Giving up your life, that's the ultimate kiddush Hashem. And he talks about what I told you outside already. So we'll skip it. And then in the end, he talks about these, you know, people who gave up their lives during the Holocaust. Well, he wasn't talking about the Holocaust, but they during the Crusades and the all the other. Look, the last paragraph, you could read it for homework. He says, right, it's exactly what we say about Avarachman. Kol kilos hakodesh, right, for the fourth line. Kilos hakodesh shemasru nafshem al kedushas Hashem haneehavim vaniven mechayim mosul lo nifrado. He's talking about the three cities of Spire, Worms, and the people who gave up their lives. That's what that prayer Avarachim was composed over, people who gave up their lives over Kiddush Hashem. That's also Kiddush Hashem. That's because why? What's the point? They gave up their lives for being Jewish. They refused to give up their Judaism to be killed. They said, no, our Judaism is more important. So that was the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. Oh, okay. So I have 6 minutes left. 6 minutes left. I want to share with you this beautiful idea that Hirsch has about Shabbos. And specifically, he says, when you're counting up to, during the Sefiras HaOmer, when you're counting Sefiras HaOmer up to Shavuos, you don't count weeks. You don't count Shavuos. You count Shabbosos. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tehiyena. Wow. Now again, sometimes the Torah says you count weeks. But Rav Hirsch says, there's a difference between counting weeks and counting Shabboses. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tehiyena. So fascinating. He says, what's a Shabbos? A Shabbos is a week that has a Shabbos. Now, it's true. Every week has a Shabbos also. But Shabbos, when you're counting weeks that have a Shabbos in it, so you are calling attention to the fact that Shabbos is both the goal of the previous week and also that which sets the tone for the next week. He has a beautiful idea about Shabbos. Because if you start counting Sfira, let's say this year we started counting Sfira on a Tuesday. So if you're counting 7 weeks, it means you're counting seven Tuesday to Mondays. Seven Tuesday to Mondays. Now, what's a Tuesday to Monday? A Tuesday to Monday is a 7-day period that has a Shabbos in the middle of it. So Shabbos is the goal of Tuesday to Shabbos, and Shabbos sets the agenda of Shabbos to Monday. So when you're counting Sheva Shabbosos, it means you're counting seven-day periods that are totally defined by Shabbos. That's Sheva Shabbosos. And Rav Hirsch says the idea is that Shabbos is supposed to be the whole goal of the 6 days of the week, and it's also supposed to be the whole precursor that sets the tone for the next week. You can't be the same after a Shabbos. You can't be the same. You're not supposed to be the same. The Shabbos is supposed to change you. It's supposed to make you different. So going through seven Shabboses, meaning Shabbos weeks, going through seven Shabbos weeks, meaning weeks that have been inspired by Shabbos, weeks that your whole goal was Shabbos, and weeks that were inspired by Shabbos, that prepares you for Matan Torah. And by the way, in a piece that I didn't quote for you, I didn't put it in the sheets because I didn't have enough room, because my limit is 4 pages. So he says there also, the interesting, we count Shavuos on the day after Sfirah, because Sfirah is about preparing yourself for Shavuos. The whole counting is about preparation, and then we only celebrate the day after. We celebrate Shavuos the day after. Well, let's see a little bit inside here. Take a look at the bold. Achein, Mashmos HaShabbos. In the first piece, it just says that Shabbos doesn't mean the day of Shabbos, right? Sheva Shabbosos. Don't count seven Shabbos. It means 7 weeks. It means weeks. But it means weeks that were inspired by Shabbos. Achein, Mashmos HaShabbos mispashetes leimei HaShavua shelofaneva shelacharea. The significance of Shabbos extends to the week before Shabbos and the week after Shabbos. The days that lead up to Shabbos find in Shabbos their entire purpose, their entire goal. And the days after Shabbos, those days will be the goal of that which we achieved on Shabbos. Wow. Him you Adam Lakach Heich Adam Machadish is priest of Hashem B'Shabbos. Veheach Umeskadish Lavodas Hashem B'Chadosh. Vehein Kach Nemar Derech Klal. Yom Yishon Shein Yushlishi Nechshavim Kenivim L'Shabbos Shavra. In a general way, this is also the idea behind how you could still make Havdalah up till Tuesday. Sunday, and you can still finish Shnai Mikra up till Tuesday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, generally speaking, revert to the week before. Revi, Chamishi, Vishishi, Nechshavim, Kachdama, L'Shabbos Haba. They're considered to be a Hakdama, an introduction to the next Shabbos. Nira Lanoi Fo, Shezu Mashmos, Sheva Shabbosos, Tamimos, Tihiana. So what does it mean that Sfira has to be Sheva Shabbosos, Tamimos, Tihiana? Seven complete Shabboses. Yavru Shiva Ma'agalei Shabbos Tamimim. Seven cycles of Shabbos should pass. Sheva Pa'amim Tafila Shabbos as Kocha. Seven times Shabbos should exert its influence, Habachanech, its educational strength, its educational influence. Ayimei Amalachi Shabbatchum Hashba Asaha Ve'omer. Sheva pa'amim te'ashbasa nikeras ha'yom rishon sheni yushlishi revi chamishi vishishi. Seven times you need Shabbos to exert its influence over Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Bein kadmula, bein bayim acharea. Whether the days came before Shabbos or whether the days came after Shabbos. Kol yom b'shavua sheyom hanef chalbo la'olam hurishon b'skufa bas sheva yamim ha'miskaltos misavv l'shabbos. Tkufa temima kein zu. Tavar Sheva Pabin, Bitem Jibos is Biamurakan. Osa Tkufas Shabbos Timima, Taskal Efo Balel Tazayim Benisan. It starts on the night of the 16th of Nisan. Uva Osa Shah Taskal Gamasvira. Al Pizay Yuval Hashem Alonimar. That's why it doesn't say Usfartam Lachem, Sheva Shabbos Timimus, Connection of Mishmistor, Shivas Shiva Tisparlach. El Tchil Umaskiras Asvir Derech Klal, below Musa, without an object. Rak acha kakumozim shal tzmai sheva etc. Lo arei shabbosos kari shavuos. Shabbosos is not the same as shavuos. Shavua is a 7-day period, but Shabbos is a 7-day period that is inspired by Shabbos. Shavua kimus shel usvartam lachem ayim etzayim tukim v'bas shiva yomim. a regular 7-day Catholic period. Shabbos. Hamunotenes is mitzvah sphere on his kesmet atzmai. He tkufa objektivit bas shiva yomim hanasuna ayidei yom haShabbos. Vasphere rach tachtirena litoda. Hesig zeh nanu chavos chazal yirel toras Hashem. Move on yavish ha Torah to unachana ayidei haShabbos. Torah, meaning the Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos, requires preparation via Shabbos. Ki haShabbos mechaneches es haAdam liikana laHashem, because Shabbos trains man to subjugate himself to God. Ulekabel besimcha es ol avodaso. Shabbos trains man to accept besimcha the yoke of serving Hashem. That's why 7 Shabboses is the preparation for Shavuos. 7 weeks inspired and influenced by Shabbos prepare man for Kabbalah Satorah. V'achzaras haShabbos la'olam kadma l'matan Torah hi chincha es ha'am li'kanal Hashem ha'idei shvisas malacha uv'yichad gala oso min ha'daiga yisera l'tzorcha ha'parnasa. Shabbos is what tames man for only focusing on making money. Shabbos is the one day a week you can't think about money. You can't focus on money. You don't focus on your job. Uviyichad galos min adaga yisrael tzorcha parnasa. V'kach yichina es ha'am shezacha b'cheres liyos la'ab Hashem. This is what prepared us. 7 Shabbos-influenced weeks prepared us for Kabbalah HaTorah. Nisgar es dvarenu ha'mashmos Shabbos ha'man. Dvarim eilam es ha'ashmilom ha'idei divrei Moshe ha'arenu sofa ha'nedudim b'midbar. Right? The whole point of the man was also for the same way. That's why these 7 countings take us from the Omer, symbolizing your Parnassa, and the land. Omer was symbolized the significance of the land of Israel and the physical and material aspects of the Jewish people. Now you count up these 7 weeks of the Torah. I thought it was such a beautiful idea. About Shabbos. Rav Hirsch has a lot about Shabbos. You see, Rav Hirsch talks about how every time the Torah repeats Shabbos is to teach you a different aspect of Shabbos, a different element of Shabbos. But here, he talks about Shabbos being the culmination of everything we do during the week, that are the parnasa that we make, and all the activities that we do are leading up to Kedusha, leading up to that relationship with Hashem. And then Shabbos also sets the tone for the next week. It's also what prepares us. So Shabbos has to change a person. Every Shabbos a person goes through, he's different. Now he's living his life on a different plane. Now he's living his life in a higher way. If we take Shabbos the right way, that will sanctify us. So hopefully we can learn the lessons of Rav Hirsch this week, the lessons of the higher level, that we're not a religion of death, we're a religion of life. And Shabbos is about celebrating life, it's about enjoying life, but it's about enjoying life in a spiritual way, in a tain of ruchni. It's about enjoying life through the study of Torah, through connecting with family, through davening, through eating in a spiritual way for a spiritual goal and a spiritual purpose. That's the whole life of being a Jew. So hopefully this Shabbos we can elevate ourselves, the culmination of this week, preparation for next week, and we can infuse our lives with Kedusha until that time where we will once more be able to really celebrate the Kedusha Sakahuna in a way of the Kohanim Bavodasim, Ulevim, Beshiram, Mavizichram. Hopefully we should be able to experience that day soon when we could really have the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, the day that will be totally Shabbos, when Mashiach will come, may that day happen. Have an awesome Shabbos.